My spirit to infiltrate and permeate your being. Let him fill your mind so you have the mind of Christ. Let him fill your heart and set your heart ablaze with fire and glory and power. Oh, allow my spirit to lead, guide, and direct you. Hear his voice. Follow his instructions. And you will find success and peace on your way. Hear him today. Do what he says. For he leads you in the right path. And if you stay on the right path, it gets brighter and brighter as the noonday sun. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Holy Spirit, we're in tune with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may have your seats fold in the same year. Okay? He increased so much that Abimelech the king, and he told Isaac, you got to leave because you have too much stuff. And everybody say, too much stuff. And then we talked about, fill my boat, right? Jesus used Peter's boat to preach a message. And then when Jesus was done preaching, he told Peter to launch his nets out into the deep. And Peter didn't want to do it at first, but he said, nevertheless, at your word, he did. And he launched his net, and he caught so much fish that his net was breaking, and they almost sank two boats for how much fish they caught. Supernatural increase. Then we said, you feed them, right? Jesus was teaching, and there were thousands and thousands of people following him, and he wanted to feed them because they've been following him for a few days. And the disciples, you know, they found a little boy who had some bread and some fish. And they said, well, what is that amongst so many? He said, bring it to me. And Jesus supernaturally increased the bread and the fish. He fed thousands of people, and there was more left over. Amen? Everybody got to eat as much as they wanted. Jesus did not put a limit. He did not say, take a little bit. Everybody took as much as they wanted. And there was more than enough. I want you to know this. God is the author of excess, increase, abundance, and more than enough. Matter of fact, he told him, he revealed himself to Abraham as El Shaddai, which means almighty, all sufficient, more than enough. Okay? He always does more than we could ask or think when we call upon him. Do you believe that? Not once did a Bible writer describe these instances as being something that God was not pleased to bring about. When the oil multiplied, God didn't say, oops, I didn't mean to do that. Did he? Because he's the author of it. Each of these stories, or let's call them case studies, they show how God supernaturally caused increase to come to individuals when they obeyed his instructions and commands. That's key. These stories are true, and God can do it for you. Say that with me. Say, these stories are true, and God can do it for me. Okay? These stories that we're going over are designed to strengthen your faith for increase. Faith comes by what? And hearing what? Have you guys been hearing God's word on supernatural increase? So now we need to expect it to happen in our lives. Expect creditors to say, call you up and say, you don't owe your debt anymore. Amen? We need to increase now. We don't have to wait till tomorrow. Let's get it in our hearts now. Get a picture on the inside of you of increasing, abounding. Okay? Not one of these instances were based on toil or solely human effort. They were supernatural. These were people just like you who obeyed divine instructions. The obedience activates supernatural increase. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to cover this story tonight that says, be a cheerful giver. Everybody put a smile on your face. See, if you smile and look forward, no one will know that I'm talking about you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's start with verse 6. He says, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also what? Sparingly. And he which sows bountifully shall reap what? That tells me that your reaping is based on your sowing. You want to reap more? Sow more. Okay? Why? Why? Where did that come about? If you go to, you don't have to turn there, but go in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. After the flood, God made a statement to Noah. He said, as long as the earth remains, they're still here, then this law, this principle is still in operation. He said, as long as the earth remains, seed time, harvest, winter, summer. So everything in God's kingdom is based on seed time and harvest. You want to increase in your life? Sow a seed. You want more friends? Be friendly. Right? Friendship is a seed. And when you sow that seed, you gain friends. That is the only way to gain friends. Be friendly. So, God enacted a principle from the days of Noah that until the earth remains, the kingdom of God is going to operate on seed time and harvest. Plant a seed, let it grow, then reap it in. Plant a seed, let it grow, reap it in. Plant a seed, let it grow, reap it in. Right? Okay? Verse 7. Every man, who's he talking to? Everybody. Say, he's talking to me. Look at your neighbor, say, he's talking to you. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, giving is a heart issue. Let me ask you this. Don't raise your hands, but do you trust God? Do you believe God? Are you convinced that he is good? Is he able to care for you and provide for you? Then giving is based on trust. It's based on relationship. When you give, you are saying, God, I trust you completely. You've got to do it as you purpose in your heart. He said this, as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, not out of necessity, for God loves a what? Cheerful giver. Let me tell you this. You must have a pure biblical motive for giving. You know what that is? L-O-V-E. Love. Love is the reason you give. Love is the reason God gave Jesus to us. For God so what? Loved the what? The world that he what? Gave. Why did God give us Jesus? Because he wanted a family. What did God do? He applied seed time and harvest to get a family. He planted his son, and he's still reaping benefits. Right? Isn't God's family still being added to today? So then his seed is still working. Okay? You don't need to give out of reluctance, out of pressure, out of regret, or sadness. If you give out of those motives, your gift is vain. Let me read this verse from a couple of other translations. Why? It'll give us greater light. How many want light? From the New Living Translation, it says, verse 7, you must decide in your heart how much to give. Decide where? In your heart. Giving is a heart issue. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Okay? The New American Standard Bible says it this way. Each one must do just as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves, I want you to see, God loves a cheerful giver. We're going to find out what that is in just a minute. God's Word translation says it this way. Each of you should give whatever you have decided. You shouldn't be sorry that you gave or feel forced to give. Since God loves a cheerful giver. That's the God's Word translation. And then one more, the Dewey Rheims Bible. Verse 7. Everyone, as he has determined in his heart, not with sadness or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Here's what I want you to see. Giving is an opportunity. You get to participate in whatever the goal is. It's an opportunity. Whether it be missions, whether it be for your local church or God's work, or for preaching and teaching, or to help the poor, giving is an opportunity. And you get to participate in it. Giving is making an investment. How many has ever made an investment? What do you do when you invest? You hope to increase that, right? You put money in now, and you hope it's more at a later date. You make an investment. Giving is an investment which has the potential for a greater return. Giving God's way is when you give according to His principles with the right heart, you will never lose. You will only increase. When you give God's way, you will never lose. You will only increase. That means giving with the right heart, with the right motive, for something good. When your giving is done for God, according to His ways, under His guidance, He will always bless you and multiply it back to you. Always. Everybody say always. Okay? Now, this word cheerful. What does this word cheerful mean? I'm so glad that you asked. It is actually the Greek word hilaros. Does that sound familiar? Where we get the word hilarious? It means joyous, cheerful, not grudging. It means you're disposed to give because you're satisfied. It describes someone who is cheerfully ready to act because they're already persuaded. In other words, you already know that what you're giving to is good. You're already persuaded. How many know farmers want to plant in what kind of ground? Good ground. The ground matters. The ground you put seed in. Listen, if I was to throw seed on this concrete floor, how would it grow? No, because it's not conducive to growth. Okay? This means, this word cheerful means you're won over. You're already inclined. In other words, there's a freedom when you give. There's an excitement when you give. Okay? It means you're willing. Here's some questions that you want to ask yourself. Is what you are giving into a good thing? Is it a God thing? Is it related to God's kingdom and His will? If you answer yes to these questions, then you can rest assured that God will bless your investments. Just like the American government backs up the dollar, when you make an investment into something, into God's work that's good, He will bless it. Heaven will back you up. Increase will be designated to you. In other words, when you give with the right heart into God's good thing, goodness, His goodness will track you down and overtake you. And then it'll find you be like, whoa. You can give knowing that heaven will back you up and return more to you than what you gave. Okay? Now, let's go to verse 8 in this chapter and let's see God's guarantee. Everybody say, God's guarantee. Has God ever failed? Has God ever lied? Can you rely on His word? Then this is a guarantee. Okay? Verse 8 is our guarantee when you are a cheerful giver and you give according to God's ways. And God is able to make a little grace available to you. It didn't say a little. What kind of grace did it say? All grace. And how's it going to come to you? Abound to you that you, everybody say me, always having all sufficiency in a few things. It didn't say a few things? How many things? All things so that you can abound to every good work. You know what? I got really excited when I read that verse. Because if God is sending me to Africa, and I know He is, then I'm doing a good thing. And guess what? I'm going to have more than enough to do what I'm supposed to do. Amen? That means I don't have to worry about it. That means I don't have to be concerned about it. That means God's already doing it. He's working it out. I just got to trust Him, rest in Him, and rejoice in Him. Now, let me read this verse in some other translations. And we're going to watch your excitement level rise. Okay? The NIV says, God is able to bless you abundantly. You like that word, abundantly? See, God never does anything just enough. You know, in Psalm 23, where he said, he anoints my head with oil, what happens to the cup? Do you know how much, you know, God knows how much will go in that cup, but yet he causes it to run over on purpose. He anoints my head with oil, it runs over. God wants you to have an overrunning cup. He'll bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need. Everybody say, I have all that I need. So that I can abound to every good work. How does God meet your needs? Philippians 4:19. How does he meet your needs? According to his riches and glory. He does not meet your needs according to your glory or your riches. He meets it according to his riches. Who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Who owns the gold and the silver? He said, all the gold and the silver are whose? They're mine. Right? Okay. The New Living Translation of verse 8. God will generously provide you with all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That's the overrunning cup. Listen, God wants to give you so much that you can share with others. He wants to be so good to you that you can be good to others, and people want to get in God's goodness. He said, I want a God who's good to you like that. This is the Berean Study Bible, verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you. This is God's guarantee. So that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Woo! I don't know about you, but those words get me excited. Generously, abundantly, abound. I love it. The International Standard Version. Besides, God is able to make every blessing of yours overflow for you. Say, God is the source of overflow. Do you remember when the Israelites went into Canaan? How many men had to haul a bunch of grapes? Two men on a pole had to, the grapes were so big that two men on a pole had to carry them. They were too big for an individual to carry. So that in every situation, you will always have all you need for any good work. You have enough for airline tickets to go and preach the gospel. Miss Dottie has enough food in the kitchen to feed an army. Amen? Our youth have enough money to go to camp. Amen? Those are all good works. And God wants us to abound in good works. The NET Bible. God is able to make all grace overflow to you. Everybody say to me. Did you know that when God wrote this, he had you in mind? He is writing this to you. So that because you have enough of everything in every way at all times, you will overflow in every good work. You'll have more than enough helpers. Did you know that Israel was not delivered from Egypt with an army? They were delivered from Egypt with a man with a stick. That stick was more than enough to deliver a nation. Can you say amen? Isn't that awesome? Moses got more out of that staff than he realized. This is good. This is the Aramaic Bible in English. This is really good. But God is able to multiply every favor toward you. Woo! I don't know about you, but favor is good, but when it's multiplied to you, whoa! God is able to multiply every favor toward you, that you always have whatever is sufficient for you in all things, that you may superabound to every good work. That's the Aramaic Bible in English. I like that. This is God's Word translation. I got two more. Are you awake? Okay. Besides, God will give you His constantly overflowing kindness. Then, when you always have everything you need, you can do more and more good things. How many want to do more and more good things? Well, we got to get into the overflow. We got to get into the abundance. We got to get into God. Amen? One more. The Weymouth New Testament translation. God is able to bestow every blessing on you in abundance, so that richly enjoying all sufficiency at all times, you may have ample means for all good works. Woo, is that good stuff? Man, I feel like I just went to a smorgasbord. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse 7 for just a second. 2 Corinthians and verse 7. In chapter 8, there was a church that out of their trouble, out of their trials, they gave an offering and they insisted that Paul take it. Notice what it says in verse 7 of chapter 8. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. He's talking about the grace of giving. See that you abound in the grace of giving also. Do you believe God has graced you to be a giver? How did we become a giver? Guess what? The giver moved inside. The greatest giver of all time moved inside your heart. When you invited Him in, He came in, He brought His nature, and we become partakers of the divine nature. Therefore, we are partakers of the giving nature of God. And we might have been stingy before, but when God moved in, we become generous. See, because when God opens your heart, He opens your wallet. Where your treasure is, what's there also? Your heart. Oh, yeah. Your treasure represents your heart. Here are some scriptures to build your faith. We're almost done. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold to them that walk uprightly. So the only thing that you got to do to receive all of God's goodness is to walk uprightly. What does that mean? To walk in righteousness. To walk right, straight, and narrow. Amen? To live right before God. To cleanse yourself with the washing of the water of the Word. As close to Jesus as you can get to Jesus, the cleaner you are. And all you do is you walk uprightly. You walk in the Word, and God doesn't withhold any good thing from you. Whew! Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all of your increase, and your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will burst out with new wine. There's always a promise of provision that comes with giving. Always. Why? Because God is more than enough. Say, God is more than enough. Can He meet all your needs or just a few? All right. He's my all in all, right? Remember when Abraham, he defeated the five kings that came against them and they took his nephew? and the king of Sodom wanted to give him something. He said, no, no, no. He said, I raised my hand to God. He said, you're not going to be able to say that you made Abraham rich. He was in covenant with God. He said, God is my source. God is my provider. God will provide for me. He trusted God. And in chapter, and then the next chapter, well, chapter 13 said he was very rich. This was in 14. He gave a tithe to all. And let me tell you something. God gave him a son in his old age. Proverbs 11:24. There is that scatters and yet increases. That's interesting. One who scatters increases. Yet there is one that withholds and it doesn't do good to him. So what is it better to do? Is it better to scatter or withhold? It's better to scatter. Spread your seed around. I'm going to become Johnny Appleseed, man. I'm going to plant that seed everywhere. Haggai 2:8. God declares, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts. The gold is his. And he can get it to you anytime you need it. God's got windows in heaven. And when you tithe, those windows get open. And out comes the blessing, the empowerment. He will open the windows of heaven. He will pour out a blessing on you so great that your rooms can't contain it. I'm going to tell you a quick story. When Fiona and I got married in Tennessee, shortly before we got married, she lost her job. We got married in May. I was teaching in a Christian school and did not get paid through the summer. School was coming to an end. We just bought a house. We closed on it the day before we got married. We didn't have any furniture. Well, maybe we had a little bit. We had a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house with a fenced-in yard. And she lost her job, and I was about to lose mine. But God opened the way. There was a contractor in the church that we were attending. And God impressed upon my heart to go to him and ask him for a job. I knew nothing of painting. He did mostly painting and some small construction. But he hired me. And I learned how to paint. And all through the summer, I had plenty of work. Amen? And God filled our house with furniture for every room, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, we had furniture in every room because God provided. Amen? Yeah. Fiona's dad can testify. He was there. He saw it. And God worked it all out. Amen? And when we sold our house in Tennessee after living in it for 2 years, we made a big profit. Amen? That's God. That's God. God did that. Verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower. God provides seed. If you're not a sower, you don't get no seed. You've got to be a sower to get seed from God. Why would God give us seed? Seed is where the increase is. Increase comes from the seed. When you plant one seed of corn, how many kernels do you get from one seed? You get 2 ears, right? How many kernels are on each ear? You probably get maybe 1,000 kernels from one seed, right? I've never planted corn, but I've seen it. You know, corn gets mad because the farmers keep pulling its ears. I just had to throw that in there. But think about it. One seed of corn brings up one stalk with 2 ears on it with multiplied seeds on each ear. Is that true? Guess what? The same thing is true spiritually. When you plant a how many's ever planted a tomato plant? How many tomatoes come from one plant? One seed produces maybe what, 4 or 5 tomatoes? Maybe more than that? one seed produces four or five. It multiplies. See, the increase is in the seed. So why does God give seed to sowers? Because that's where. Because sowers know what to do with seed. They take that seed from God and they plant it, and it multiplies even more. Sowers are equipped to succeed because they get seed. You only have to qualify to get seed is to be a sower. That's it. He doesn't ask anything more. But if you're a sower, you will get seed. I remember hearing Brother Copeland testify. He was in a meeting, and the offering plate went by, and all he had was a wooden pencil. He sowed that pencil. Since then, he's sowed cars and planes and different things. He sowed what he had. Then the Bible says he gives seed to sowers, then he gives you bread for food. After all, Jesus is the bread of life, isn't he? The Lord's Prayer says, give us our daily what? Bread. See, when you're sowing seed, he'll make sure you have enough to eat. Because David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging for bread. God's children are not beggars. They're believers. Say, I'm a believer, not a beggar. So listen, when you go to God crying and whining and moaning, guess what? You got to change your tone. You got to get in faith before he hears you. I'm just saying. He gives bread for food. Then what does he do? He provides and multiplies your seed and increases the harvest of your righteousness. So God provides and multiplies your seed, and he increases your harvest. In other words, when your harvest is increased, you got more coming in than going out. Woo! The Amplified says this, God who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. Active goodness, kindness, and charity. That's powerful. So God will give seed to the farmer, and he'll give him bread for food. He'll increase your resources. How many believe God will increase your resources? Amen? Guess what? It's not based on your job. It's based on your soul. He who sows sparingly, how do they reap? Sparingly. Listen, if you want a trickle, give a trickle. If you want a dump truck, give a dump truck. Amen? It's what the Bible says. I didn't come up with that. That's what the Bible says. Oh, the International Standard Version says, he will enlarge the harvest that results from your righteousness. How many want your harvest enlarged? How many want to be able to have two people carry the grapes that come from your vineyard? Then look at verse 11. If you're not excited yet, you better get excited about this verse. Being enriched in everything to all bountiful. How many want to be enriched in everything? That comes from being a cheerful giver. When you become a cheerful giver, when you decide that you're not going to let circumstances determine your giving, you're going to let God and the Holy Ghost determine your giving. That means you can't check the atmosphere and say, oh, it's not right to sow because the wind says it's no. No, it has nothing to do with the wind, has nothing to do with your feelings. It has everything to do with what God said. Put your feelings aside. Put your circumstances aside. Because the woman who gave two mites, Jesus said that was just right. She gave out of her need. She gave everything. Did he stop her from giving? No. He encouraged it. He praised her for it. And guess what? I guarantee you that she was blessed for it. Because if the widow of Zarephath was blessed, the widow in the New Testament was certainly blessed. My goodness. You'll be enriched in every way. In every way, you will grow richer and become more generous. My goodness. Just by changing your motive and your attitude about giving, you demonstrate trust. Amen. Father, I give you thanks and praise for this word tonight. I believe that this is a word for this moment, for this hour. It's a word from you. Father, let it be emblazoned in our hearts. Give us revelation, insight, and understanding into your ways. If you're watching us by Facebook Live and you've heard these words, then ask God what He wants you to do and do it. Don't reason it. Don't argue it. Just do what He says do. And God will lead you in the way that you should go. And as you follow His instructions, you will be blessed in Jesus' name. God bless you. And for those who are here tonight, God wants to abound. He wants to enrich. He wants to increase. He wants to bless. And He wants to do it for you right now. He wants to bless you in your body. See, prosperity is not just about money. It's about the peace you have in your life. It's about your home life. It's about your physical condition. It's about how you're increasing in your soul. It's about your whole life. It's not just about your checkbook or your bank account. It's about your life. God wants you to prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. 3 John 2. Say, God wants this for me. He wants me to prosper. He wants me to be in health. He wants me to have peace of mind. He wants me to be strong. He wants me to live long. He wants me to do His will. Can you imagine not having any restriction and you being free to do what God wants you to do, where He wants you to do it, how He wants you to do it, with who He wants you to do it? No restrictions. That's what we're talking about. Amen? Let's take the limits off of our thinking tonight. Besides, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That's our main scripture, Ephesians 3:20. Amen? Now, if there are some people here tonight that want to increase, just like this example in this Bible, this is New Testament, folks. Amen? Do you realize in the early church, people would sell lands, and they wouldn't just give a portion of it, they'd give the whole proceeds to the apostles. And do you realize that in that atmosphere of giving and sowing, the Bible says in Acts 4, no one lacked. Everybody say, no one lacked. Is that possible today? Absolutely. How is it going to happen? When God's people prosper, increase. Listen, we're just letting God do it. Amen? I'm not talking about a quick, rich scheme. I'm talking about following after God. When you follow after God, He'll move heaven and earth for you. I've witnessed it in my life. I'll tell you another quick story and I'm closing. Fiona and I, we purposed in our heart that we asked God to double our income. We didn't know how that was going to come about, but we wrote it down on a piece of paper and we prayed about it. And it wasn't but a few months after we wrote that down that an opportunity was given to us, and it literally doubled my income that I was making somewhere else. Amen? I was making. Amen? God, we didn't know how that was going to happen. We just believe God for it to happen. And it did. Amen? And there's things, listen, there's things that we need to do in this city. There's things that we need to do in our state and in our country. And it's going to take people who are prospering according to God. And young people, you're in a much better position because you can start off like this. Amen? So, listen, if you want to prosper, let's tap into the anointing to do that tonight. Amen? If you want to prosper in your body, prosper in your family, prosper in your future. Amen? I'm not limiting to what area that you want to prosper in. I just know that God wants to prosper you. He wants to increase you. He wants to take you to another level. Amen? And I know that there's an anointing here tonight to do this. Because I believe that every time I speak God's word, He will confirm it. That's what He said. He will work with them and confirm His word with signs following. So I believe that you're going to start to see increase in your life in greater measures and in greater degrees. Amen? And if you would just like prayer.